This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
All right, Lexington, how are we doing tonight? Just wanted to hop on here and let you know that it is between the hours of 6 and 8 p.m. on a Thursday night.
That's right, Mitch.
And that can only mean one possible thing, that Mitch is no longer sick. He has returned, and it is time for Mitch and Grant to gallivant off into the great unknown of technology from the past couple weeks, because you have not been galvanized yet for this journey of greatness in technology that we are about to provide for you this evening. So once again, it is Tech Talks. We want to thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here as we
I didn't realize that gallivant was a verb. That's not even like the English usage of the day award. That's easily of the week. So gallivant. To go from place to place seeking out entertainment and amusement. Is that not what we do here? That's precisely what we do.
What happens here on Tech Talk. So
thank
we
you,
gallivant.
Mitch. We do.
And I ensure that we gallivant because
welcome to the technical gallivant.
That's right. So thanks again. We've got lots of stuff to talk about this evening. I know a couple of the highlights, one of which is going to be a huge layoff by Tesla that we're going to be discussing. Grant, you sent me something earlier yesterday, I believe, if you don't care reminding me what that was.
Yeah, that was that was Project Titan.
That's right.
From Apple.
Related to solar cars.
Yeah, so it's been confirmed, and we'll talk about what that means coming up here in a little bit.
And then after that, what was some of the other stuff we've seen this week? There's been so much. We've not been able to cover it because we've only had just a few people on.
There was something about hard drives, but I don't remember what it was. I think there's a new solid state tech that they're working on, and it's like crazy amounts of data storage.
That is true. All of this and more if you stay tuned with us. And in the meantime, we've got plenty of music. What you just heard previously was 5,000 Miles off the album Running Wild by the artist Greaves.
I just found the article I was looking for.
Oh.
It's something, it's an Intel solid state, and it's really strange, and by solid state standards, it's really large. It's the kind of thing you'd put in like a server rack, but it can hold a petabyte.
That's right.
Boom.
I remember
that's what
that.
We're talking about.
Yep. So up next, we've got Gizmodrone off that self-titled album of, once more, Gizmodrone, because we can't get away from those G words today. So keep it locked all the way to the left. It's your only alternative left as we gallivant off with Gizmodrone. And that song is going to be Zubata Chev. So keep it locked, and we will entertain you with gallivanting. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us. You're currently listening to Tech Talks on WRFL Lexington. That is right, Lexington's very own technology talk show program. So thanks for tuning in and teching out with us. I am your host, Mitch, joined by my other amazing host.
I'm Grant, and we'll be here up until 8 p.m. talking about science, news, technology, everything happening over the last week or two.
And this is actually the first time myself being in studio over the past half a month. I was sick over the past two Tech Talks, therefore was not in any condition to hop on here and do a talk show for 2 hours. So now I am not sick, though, and I can do a talk show for 2 hours. So hooray for me. And just a friendly reminder to all you folks, it is flu season, so make sure to get your flu shots.
Yes, please do.
to avoid program interruptions like the one you've experienced here. Mm. Even though I didn't get the flu, I actually had a sinus infection. The
you
irony.
You should still get your flu shot.
That really doesn't undercut
the point.
Yeah, yeah, that's on the... If they made a sinus infection, like, vaccine, you better believe I would be the first one to sit there and be like, please, I'll take it just right there in the arm. Yes, thank you. No more sinus infection. How wonderful. So, with that, we've promised wonderful, wonderful things to talk about. So I guess we will start off with the electric car articles that we've promised you, our article about Tesla and about Apple. And so let's start with the Tesla one, because that's actually kind of interesting, given what's happening with Apple right now. So earlier this week, Tesla has announced as the production of the Tesla Model 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the Tesla 3 has finally entered production and started ramping up production, Tesla announced that there would be 30,000 employee layoffs, I believe, and those were based on performance and the fact that their performance standards were not being met. And Grant is fact-checking me on that number. I'm nearly positive it's 30,000.
That 30,000 just seems really, really high for a private company. The last number I saw from this week is about 700.
Well, I hope you're right.
I hope so, because that's much, much smaller.
See, I know I saw the number 30,000 somewhere involved in the article, and I cannot remember. I was fairly certain that it was the amount of layoffs happening or the amount of employees that were under review or something along those lines. But nonetheless, the point being that Tesla is going through a large scale layoff by any means. Which is very strange, because this is the segue I want to make into our next article. Project Titan. We've talked about it a lot. It's an Apple project, and it is basically Apple's response to Tesla, specifically. And so it's just kind of interesting to see that as Apple has announced that their Project Titan is going to be happening, all of a sudden Tesla is doing a large-scale layoff. Especially the timing of it is so strange because of the fact that the Model 3 is just now ramping up in production, and that's the one that people have been pre-ordering for, what, 2-3 years now?
Yeah, about 2 years now. And I guess I'm just so fascinated with the idea of Project Titan at this point from Apple, because, you know, Apple is like a consumer goods producer, and we've speculated about the fact and analyzed blurry photos and talked for hours about what it would mean for them to get in. But now we have confirmation that this exists on, you know, they have this it looks like a ski rack that you put on top of a car, and it's mounted down with equipment, and it's on top of this Lexus, and it's so strange that this exists.
They're not actually making a vehicle. They're making autonomous driving equipment that you attach to your vehicle. Is sort of like a third-party upgrade.
It's not clear right now whether that would be just for this model of vehicle, or if they would plan to expand the vehicles with which it would work. My expectation is that it's just going to be with this specific model of a Lexus car, but we'll have to see. The details have been sparse so far, and after years of speculating, I mean, I don't know when the first time that people started talking about Titan was, but it's probably been talking about Titan for about as long as Tesla as a company has existed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty fascinating to me.
That is correct. Did you find anything else about the number I was referring to? Is that
I've not found any reference to the 30,000 employees.
Okay, but how many employees are being laid off from Tesla?
Second source now that I've found is Hundreds.
Okay.
So they have 33,000 employees.
That's what it was. Right. Okay. That's what it was.
But, and they have a factory in Fremont with 10,000 people, a whole third of their workforce is in one factory.
Okay.
But it looks like they're cutting production by maybe around 500.
Okay. So then of the 30,000 employees and of the specifically 10,000 that are slated for that factory in Fremont, about 500 to 700 are being laid off, which is still a large, that's 5%
of the factory. That's anywhere between, 12 and 7% of the factory. I mean, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. That is. Not many companies are you able to see lay off 12 to, 5 or 7 to 12% of their company's main workforce as far as production workforce goes, and not bat an eye. I don't know. And I just find it odd. Also, the reasoning is performance reviews that they're not meeting performance standards. I mean, it's a good thing. It means they're serious about enforcing quality. But I assume they're going to be hiring new people to come in and take over those spots that were fired due to failing performance. I don't know. I don't imagine they're just cutting 700 because, frankly, Tesla is a company that's doing amazing right now. You know, it's not like they need to cut any jobs in order to make ends meet. It's just simply a performance thing.
Yeah, and they've had some back and forth, and I think they had a lot of trouble getting the threes going. But if they do get a good pace of the threes going this year, and they get a lot of those out the door, and they get most of their back order shipped out, then
There's no way they're going to get all of their back order shipped out.
I'm not saying all. I'm saying most. You know, if they make a sizable dent,
if they hit their quota for this year, that will be an achievement.
That'll be a feat. Yeah, they're really pushing the limits of how far they want that Tesla 3 to go, and I think in turn we'll see how they actually stand up as a company, because this is a production of a magnitude 10 times bigger than anything they've previously done. So this for me, the next year for them is one of many breaking points that we've seen so far, and mm-hmm. Tesla has weathered a lot of them up to this point fairly well. I honestly
think a lot of it is, oddly enough, due to the charisma of Elon Musk. I mean, I feel like if Tim Cook were in Elon Musk's position, like if they just today decided to switch companies, I feel like Tesla would probably fall apart, because I do feel that a large part of Tesla is to do with his charisma and just his sheer force of will. You know,
No, and you're right. And there's Tesla is kind of a prime example right now of one of like the prime engineering problems that we have, which is basically that we don't have enough engineers. Apparently at Tesla, 60 hours is pretty much the minimum that you work in a week, and that goes all the way up to like 80. And it's abundantly clear to me that that's part of the production problem that they have, is that they don't have enough engineering staff.
So what, I mean, 60-hour weeks, that's what, 8-hour days? 10-hour days?
That's 6 10-hour days.
With one day off?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's 60.
Hmm.
And 80 would be 12 by 7.
Yeah, I know 80. My dad actually worked up to 84 hours a week back about 2 or 3 years ago before the big coal recession hit. But yeah, that's good, because that's a good wage, 60 hours a week at whatever pay rate they're making. I mean, you figure it's got to be upwards of at least $30, you know, just low, very low balling that figure there. But yeah, I 100% am behind the fact that if he wasn't at the helm of that company, things would definitely be falling apart. Because Tesla and SpaceX are really, really just tied into him as a personality. I mean, when you say Tesla, Elon Musk comes to mind. It's unlike Google, where when you say Google, it's its own entity, its own brand. It can, you know, it's going to survive despite whoever's in charge of it. You know, Apple was kind of the same way with Steve Jobs at the helm. It kind of suffered a little bit and got so bland whenever Steve Jobs wasn't at the helm during his original break from the company. And then when he came back, they narrowed down their product line, got rid of a lot of their products, and went to basically their current model, if you will. And Tim Cook has just sort of kept purveying that model. But, you know, Apple rebranded itself, honestly, as a sheer force of Steve Jobs' will. Him coming back to the company, Apple just sort of metamorphosized.
Okay, so a related question, since we've walked into this realm, you've sprung my trap.
Did I spring it, or did I help you execute the trap? Because I knew you were wanting to go here.
Since Tim Cook has taken over the helm after the passing of Steve Jobs, it seems like the mobile line of products that Apple provides, I'm talking about laptops, I'm talking about
portable products,
phones, tablets, watches, everything, has, quite frankly, ballooned. I don't have the hard numbers, but my best estimate is that it's probably about doubled since 2010.
So you're asking
while me... While I'm not concerned about their ability to keep up quality of their products, does this speak of the same kind of ballooning product line that they had in the 90s that led to when Steve Jobs returned, like slashing through the product line?
So I don't think so. Frankly, before Steve Jobs returned, they offered support and parts and sales on every model of everything Apple made up to that point. So what Steve Jobs did, he came in, he slashed it down, he had the idea for the iPod, which really Apple wouldn't be the company we know today without the iPod. And the fact that they've actually axed the iPod model since then really speaks to that, to the fact that they're adapting to the changing market, to the fact that most people use their phone as an iPod. They keep their music on their phone. It's just a new standard.
Yeah.
I think that I do want to say them having the top of the edge, you know, brand new model phone, they're always going to do that. Like the iPhone X that's coming out, or the iPhone 8 or the 10. Or, you know, whatever, what have you. And then I think that them offering that iPhone SE, that's basically a iPhone 5 with newer hardware and newer software.
They still make the SE?
They do. They keep that constantly at their bottom tier model. And I appreciate that. That's smart on their part, because that's going to help appeal. I mean, am I wrong? Have they axed it? I know that as of the iPhone 7s, they still offered the SE. And that the plan was to keep that in as the low-tier phone that you could get. It was more geared towards maybe a first iPhone for teenagers, or an introductory phone for elderly who are not used to smartphones. And it's meant to be a cheaper, low-tier model that still offers, you know, it's still an iPhone. It's just not as big. And I also appreciated the size. I personally, my last Apple phone was an iPhone 5, and I loved the size of the 5. I think that was the smallest iPhone they ever made, with the largest screen they ever had. And so,
yeah. So interestingly enough, I was digging around. They still have the SE on their site. So it still exists.
Yeah,
and I guess I just don't know if they're still producing them, or
I think they are. And like I said, I think it's for that reason. I think they're keeping it as a cheaper, low shell, you know, low line model, and that they're offering the upper end models. So now that we've covered that they're keeping a base low line model, being the SE, I appreciate that. That gives them good consistency. As opposed to the varying sizes they've been coming out with, you know, because the iPhone, the iPhone 3, the 3G, the 4, the 4S, and the 5 were all more or less the same size. And then came out the 6, which is a little bit bigger than the 5, but the 6 Plus was the real shift in the size of iPhones. And I think they saw that there was some kickback from that. And so they're keeping the SE on as a smaller alternative so that you do actually get some choice. You can choose the larger model or the smaller standard edition model. As for what you saw with, again, the 5 is a great example. You saw the 5S come out. Then you saw the 5C. So that was three different versions of the 5, and 4 if you count the SE, which really speaks to how popular that size and branding of the iPhone was. Then they came out with the 6 and the 6 Plus, and the 7 and the 7 Plus. So they're obviously wanting to offer different sizes, you know, for different things. Different folks may want a smaller phone versus a larger phone. They may want something that can fit comfortably in their pocket, or something they can use more as a tablet. And I think that the larger iPhones they've had have actually seen probably a decrease in their iPad sales. Like the iPad mini and the standard iPad, and the iPad Pro was, I don't think was ever really that successful due to that thing being huge. No joke, the iPad Pro was probably just basically a screen as big as a standard laptop.
Yeah, so the, I have a lot of mixed feelings about tablets because overall the tablet industry has been kind of waning through the last couple of years after basically everybody that wanted one bought one and then sales started falling from there. But I'm curious to see because apparently for the first time since like 2013 or 2014, that sales are actually picking back up this year on iPads. And so it's strange. It's I don't know what's causing that force in the market. Because it seems by this point, surely everybody that has an iPad that wants an iPad has an iPad? I don't know. Maybe I'm not in the right.
I don't know, but to get back to your original question, how do I feel about the ballooning of their product line? I think by cutting off the iPod branch of their product line and consolidating their iMac and their MacBooks and the MacBook Airs to really they offer one version of the iMac, then there's the Mac Pro, which is a independent CPU tower. And then offering the MacBook Pro and then the MacBook Air. They've really consolidated their computer line. And by consolidating their computer line and cutting off their iPod line and shift, more or less merging the amount of space they allotted for their iPod line into the amount of space they've allotted for their phone line, I feel like that's what's letting them get away with the amount of differing phones specifically that they're offering. Tablets, they've always offered the iPad and the iPad mini, you know, the two different sizes, that makes sense. The Pro, I think, was just sort of a hopeful against the Surface, as the Microsoft Surface has sort of surged in popularity, especially among college students, between the Surface and the Surface Book laptop. You can, you know, take the top of it off from the keyboard and attach it and flip it over or whatever, and basically lay it flat and use it as a notebook. As I've said many times, that's how I personally take my notes. And I've actually noticed an uptick and increase in many of the students in the classes I'm in also now getting Surfaces or Surface Books in order to take their notes in the same fashion. And I'm noticing less and less iPads. And I think that that's kind of the downtick we saw in iPad sales was related to the fact that iPad did not support a stylus such as the Surface Pen until about a year ago when they came out with the Apple Pen, but it only can be used with the iPad Pro. So as a result, I think that that's why we've seen a slight uptick in the iPad sales, as they now have something that they can market as a competition to the Surface. But I feel like the Surface, in the downtime that Apple was dragging their feet on any kind of official Apple Pen, they lost that market.
Okay.
So I feel like Apple can get away with their product line size the way it is due to the reasons being, once again, that they've cut their iPod line and they've consolidated their computer line, which has allowed a little bit more room for their phone line to expand into all the different versions, the Plus and the Normal and the C and what have you. So yeah.
I appreciate the detail with that.
We definitely snowballed from talking about Tesla layoffs into Apple product line size. So that's been one of our more interesting conversation segues. With an Apple version of a car being the midpoint between those two. So,
certainly.
So with that, we're going to get back to the music. Up next, we have Dylan Pratt. Honest Kind of Luck is going to be that song off the Still EP. Keep it locked all the way to the left here at WRFL Lexington, and thanks for tuning in and checking out to Tech Talks.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.